Here, let me help you out with this because I can tell you need it. Welcome to the Electrician You podcast. This is Drake.
And I'm Dustin.
Today we are going to talk about anticipating need.
Yeah, so I, one of my friends slash moderators slash somebody that just helps out in our Discord group, is putting together this apprentice manual, which is just like, welcome to the trade. Here's everything you need to know. A bunch of advice from all of us that have been doing it a while, tools, all that kind of stuff. And he wanted me to write a couple of little like blurbs about certain things. And one of them is, something that you need to, understand your role. Like, what's your entire purpose for being there?
Yep.
And a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to be an electrician. But it's like, that's not what we hire you for. We hire you as an apprentice to be a helper. And we often just call them helpers or greenhorns. And you're just so green, like fresh green grass. You know, you have no experience in anything. But the reason that we hire is because we need help. And yep. You don't know what you're doing. So over the course of years of you helping us who do know what we're doing, you will learn how to do what to do. So this idea of anticipating need is something that I've talked about a lot in like YouTube episodes and stuff in the past, but I think it's the one key thing that makes every great electrician great as well.
Yeah. And not to mention anybody.
Yeah. It extends to everything really. Yep. So anticipate need, what that actually means is you need to be monitoring the people around you at all times when you're an apprentice to see what they're doing, because A, that just shows you how to do electrical stuff, you know, like it teaches you what to do. But you need to anticipate what they're going to need next. And that's the key thing. A really, really great apprentice that I want to keep around for a long time is somebody that when I'm up on a ladder and I'm doing something, they know, oh crap, he doesn't have a coupling. Let me grab one real quick. And so by the time I turn around, they've already got it in their hand. They know what I need. It's almost like a surgery technician or whatever, you know, like those nurses or whatever they're called in surgery rooms. Like, I shouldn't have to ask for the scalpel. You should have it in your hand because you know that's the next thing.
Right.
And those people are super valuable. So how this extrapolates though, is once you have this understanding that like, this is how I should be, you start to know electrical work really fast because you're just so used to watching it so closely and you're so used to making sure everybody else around you has what they need. Once you become a journeyman, this is now something that's so ingrained in you that you can do this for your entire crew when you're on a job site. It's like, okay, I might be taking my tools off and I'm going to sit here at the plan and just watch everybody work. But I need to know what these 10 people are doing and I need to anticipate their need. I need to know what they're doing right now. In 15 minutes when they finish, I need to have the next three tasks ready for them. And so the people that are really, really great at anticipating need make outstanding journeymen because they were great helpers.
Yeah. And in order to even get there, you need to know the job. You need to know what a coupling is and why they would need it in the first place.
Yeah.
So once you start seeing, oh, okay, every time he does this, he has these things. What are these things? Ask what those things are. Now you know it's called a coupling. And then you need to know what kind of couplings, because there's so many different types of couplings.
Why does he use this kind over here, but this kind over here?
Right. And an electrician would love it if you brought him over a coupling and it was the wrong type of coupling. It still shows that you're trying.
Yeah.
And then it's an opportunity to learn, oh, okay, this coupling's not the right one for X, Y, and Z. So all that attentiveness to detail is what allows you to eventually be able to anticipate need.
Yeah.
You need to see 5 steps ahead, but in order to get there, you need to start with step one.
Yeah. It always blew my mind too, that when I first started wiring custom homes, like that's where I started. And it was these monster 8,000, 10,000 square foot homes. And the journeyman would always have everything just in their head. Like they flowed with the job. They knew what was coming next. I was so overwhelmed by all of the stuff everywhere because as electricians, our jobs were in a job from like before the slabs even poured all the way through. Like a lot of times the people are moving into a house and we're still there.
Yeah. One of the last ones.
Yeah. And we never really leave. We might leave for a few weeks, but, we're so intimately in touch with jobs more than any other trade is. So it was mind boggling that some of these people were able to do this without keeping lists at all. And they just knew what to do. And it was, you know, again, time and service. Once you've done enough of these, you understand what has to be done, but even as a journeyman, you're not even just anticipating the need of the people working around you. You're anticipating the need of like materials that you're going to have
the project
for tomorrow, for the next few days. You're anticipating like when the customer is going to come and start asking questions, and you have to, you might come across a whole bunch of problems that you don't have answers to and the homeowner doesn't have answers to. So you got to ask the builder. So you have to anticipate need constantly. So yeah, that, I just think it's a really great behavior to develop. And I think that, like we were talking earlier, it extends beyond that. Like once you become a master electrician, now you're anticipating the needs for an entire company.
Yep.
And you have to make sure all your people are good, all your customers are good. So kind of the community at large. And once you become a business owner, like then you are anticipating the need of the world,
yeah.
right? And you have to keep on the pulse of your entire industry and, you know, everybody involved. So the anticipating need thing, I think more people should like really sit and think about what that means and the importance of it, because I think it's huge.
Yeah. It requires a non-lackadaisical approach as well.
Right.
You have to be attentive. You have to be forthcoming. You have to just try. You have to put yourself out there and ask a lot of questions.
People, yeah, you just got to be engaged.
You have to be engaged.
Don't be just showing up, just trying to get a paycheck. You're never going to be somebody anticipating need if you don't care.
And after the first couple of weeks, you're not going to be able to anticipate need. You're still going to be like, I don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
But you can in the sense of like, oh, this floor is messy. They need this to be cleaned up.
Yeah. Even if I don't know what to do, like what's something I can think that's logical to do?
Yeah. And that's all that anticipating need is. It's being logical and having foresight of what, if this is happening, what's the steps? And if they're at step one, what's step two, three, four, and five?
Yeah.
It takes a lot of practice. And in all honesty, I think a lot of people either excel at it or don't excel at it. You know, there's definitely a gradient, but the people who don't excel at it are hard to work with.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and we've all had those people that we've worked with in any field where it's just like, they're just waiting for a command. It's just like, what I'm doing here is easy. I need this. Can you go get that for me? Like, why didn't you know I need that?
Yeah.
You know? And sure, after the first like 2, 3, 4, 5 times, but after a while, it's like work on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like put effort into trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good helpers are the ones that are like fully engaged, and they might mess up a lot. It's okay. I would rather have an apprentice under me that screws up a lot, but is a super hard worker and is always trying to do things to take stress off my plate, or just to try to like grease up the engine a little bit so it runs smooth. You know, I've had apprentices that will restock trucks. Like the first thing we do in the morning is, maybe they're not a social person, so they're not in there, the circle of people talking about everything. They're just going and grabbing materials and open up all the toolboxes and trying to restock things. They're anticipating that throughout the day, we're probably going to need this. And they're usually on the job with me every single day. So they kind of already know, like, oh yeah, he said we were missing, we need a couple rolls of wire or whatever. But those are the best apprentices. And usually those type of people, because they're so engaged in what's going on at all times, they're the ones that ask a lot of questions, which makes me dump all of my knowledge into them, which helps them excel even further beyond the other helper that just jumps in your truck and doesn't care, doesn't ask questions. You can tell they're just on their phone all the time. They're not there. So here's what can happen though, if you're not one of those people. If you're generally not engaged, anticipating need, what are you doing? You're
wasting time.
Well, you might be working, right? You might be just working on your own thing. But if you're going to develop this pattern of constantly just being doing your own thing. You're never going to be helping other people. So you're going to be limited to the knowledge and opportunities and things that are going on. You're not going to develop a lot of really important skills. And I see this a lot too in like 30-year journeymen, some, you know, 40-year electricians that they can't stand apprentices. They don't want anybody around. They just want to work by themselves. They don't want to ride in the truck with anybody.
Yeah.
They're just self-serving and they want to do their job. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay.
No, I feel like that's a stereotypical Hollywood detective.
Yeah. Yeah. These old cats are very much like that, man. Smoking cigarettes, get home, drink beer.
No, when I got a partner, they're like, no.
Yeah. No, and not that any of those things are bad. Like I'm not saying that this is the only way anyone should ever be, but I'm talking about to maximize your growth and to make sure that you go really far. Everybody that hires people wants a team player.
Yeah.
They want somebody that's going to be anticipating the need, jumping in to help, working, like doing whatever.
Yeah. I think focusing on apprentices, like what do they need to do? because, you know, they're going into a new field, right? And they might know a little bit about electricity because of their family or their friend or whatever. But going into it, what would you suggest would be like the first most thing that they should work on to try to anticipate need?
I would ask the journeyman that you're with, because the answer to this question is going to vary by who you're working with. Some people are not going to want you running up to them every 5 minutes asking what they need.
Right.
Some people will. Some people will not want to talk to you at all because they just have, you're like the 73rd helper and 72 of them have not worked out, you know? And so there is kind of this attitude where some people just don't want anything to do with you. But then there's people that really care about education and they're going to be constantly monitoring your work ethic to see, are you showing up on time? Are you showing up early? Are you asking questions? Are you working? So just ask the person that you're working with, like, yo, I'm green. I don't know what the hell I'm doing out here. So I want to learn this stuff, but I don't want to be in your way all the time. So what are things that I can do for you that are going to help you get your job done that are still going to be like not time wasting bullshit for me to do?
Yeah. And in another episode, we talked about how just because you're a good electrician doesn't mean you're a good teacher.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you're going to be paired up with a good electrician who is not a good teacher.
Right.
So it's almost on you to make sure that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And it's not even like there's the bad teacher, bad person thing, you right. know, where you're just going to get stuck with a dickhead and that's all there is to
sure,
it.
Sure. There's Sorry. That level too. Yeah.
But
I've had my fair share of those.
Yeah.
In the electrical field.
There's also people that are just so, they're such hard workhorses that all they're doing is diving in and they're not really thinking about anybody else around them. And that's a bad teacher.
Right.
You know, a good teacher is somebody that can step back a little bit and evaluate things, think about you, think about what you need to learn, give you appropriate tasks for your skill level that are maybe a little bit above your skill level. So you have something to chase towards and rattle your brain against a little bit. But it's very few. It's very rare to find people like that. It's actually more common to be paired up with somebody who's just a good worker and they've stuck around at the company because the boss doesn't want to fire them. They want them around. Yep. So it's going to be very rare for you to find somebody that's eloquent in teaching and thinking about your needs and trying to build your character and build your skills. Very rare.
Yeah. Especially with the stereotypical tradesman, you know, there is a gruffness to mm-hmm. it. So
yeah, a lot of people think it's not my job to teach you. It's your job to learn. And I don't agree with that methodology. I shouldn't say that.
I feel like it's like 60-40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just take the teaching more seriously. Obviously, electrician you, right? Like yeah. I burden myself to teach because I enjoy teaching. But I only enjoy teaching people that really want to learn. I don't enjoy teaching people that don't give a damn. And you're not going to get much out of me.
No.
But I will give you everything I got if you're like a good student, you want to learn. But anyway, so, okay, your original question though, it was things that, like, that people should do. I think the first and foremost thing is like day one, admit you know nothing. Don't try to impress anybody and pretend you know stuff because it's so see-through, bro. We've been doing this so long. You're not going to impress us for 5-6 years. So just be humble and admit, I know nothing, but I want to be good. So what can I do to make you and I good? You're like your truck, like making sure that I'm getting the stuff that I need, whatever, like, what can I do? And how do you want me to work together? I don't think enough people ask that. They're quiet and they wait for the journeyman to say something and they're, you know,
yeah.
Or they talk too much and it's like, dude, shut the fuck up, yeah. You know, just get to work. So just ask people what they need. The second thing is if you aren't getting something from somebody and you don't know what to do, look for the things that are within your realm of things you can do and do them. So if you notice that like materials are getting low, go stock materials. If you're in the shop in the morning and you're there a little bit early and everyone's sitting around smoking cigarettes and you don't smoke cigarettes, start organizing material. Go through the material bins at the shop and just be like, holy crap, all these things are like just randomly thrown together, which happens at every shop, unless you got like a materials guy that works there for full time doing it. Start organizing things that look like other things and put them together. It's something massively beneficial. And it's something that at every license level I do when I go into a company, I'm usually there early, to learn stuff, to talk to the old guys and figure out what they know and what I could possibly know and ask them questions about code. But then I will just sit out there and organize materials until it's time for everything, you know, to go. And by doing that, you'll start to understand what materials are. And then when you have the materials in the truck and you see, oh, those like little red things are missing, I'm going to go put some more in here. it's just a helpful thing that it's, you're not hurting anything to do that.
Something cool. If you end up with an electrician that isn't elegant in the way that they speak and they don't want anything to do with you, but you don't want to be a pain in the butt as well, what I would suggest doing is when you're in the truck and you are just by yourself for a second and there's all these supplies and tools and stuff, take a picture of it and then go home and learn what each one of those things are. Because
that's a good idea.
The idea of having one of these people who already hate you just by default, go get the, and all you hear is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Like what is the compression fitting WRTR plug?
And you're going to, well, first off, if you don't know what it is, bite the bullet and ask. And if they bite your head off, I mean, that's kind of on them. It sucks. I'm sorry. But when he brings you to the truck and he's like, these, remember that. But it'll eliminate that fear of when he says, oh, I need a coupling. You're like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
And then you go to the truck and then you realize there's 15 couplings. You know, like, oh no.
Grab one of each.
Grab one of each. Yeah. Exactly.
But that's the other thing too. Yeah. Anticipating need, the mindset of it is if you don't know what something is and you can't ask, grab the thing you think it is, but also grab four other things so that you don't.
It might be. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there's nothing more annoying than somebody walks up to you with the wrong thing.
Exactly.
It's like, dude, I just asked you for a half inch set screw. Yeah, coupling.
Why do you have a hammer?
Yeah. You know, my kid used to do that. I actually had a buddy that would come up to me with the wrong stuff on purpose and he would just hand it to me. And I'm like, no, you idiot. And he'd put his hand behind his back and pull his other hand out and he'd have the thing that I needed. And I'm like, God damn it. And he'd just laugh. He would laugh so hard. So yeah, have some fun with this stuff too. Yeah. But no, that's a killer idea, man. It's like, I never went through a school or, any kind of like official training program. I was just trained on the job. And I was always hunting for information on stuff. And that's something I wish I would have done. I started when like phone usage and the internet and all that stuff wasn't really like a big thing yet.
Yeah. Now you have Google Lens to take a picture of a thing that you don't know what it is and then put it through Google Lens and it'll tell you exactly what it is.
Here's how to find them, where to order them, here's the history of everything you ever want to know.
Yeah.
That's a really great idea. And another thing I think since you have your phone out and you're doing stuff like that is when you come across terms that you don't understand or things that you hear, like I remember hearing about the master electrician I was working under when I was an apprentice had a journeyman and they kept talking about this whole primary and secondary thing. They'd be like, oh, primary is over there. And then from secondary, we got to go over here. And I was just like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
And I didn't want to ask. It was like, it was way beyond anything I even understood. I didn't know what a damn atom was at that point. So even trying to understand the theory of a transformer having a primary side and a secondary side was so beyond me. But I would write things down like that. And then I would go home and Google them and I'd sit and try to go through 10 different articles so I could understand, you know, a more breadth about the topic. Rather than a depth, and it helped a lot. So I think doing that with anything that you're unaware about, anything you have questions about, this is kind of like school that you're going to. It's physical hands-on school.
Yep.
When you're at school, you're taking notes, right? You're listening to a professor talk about trigonometry. And so you got to like write all these things down and then practice them and study them. It's the same thing with work. Like I would take as seriously as you take this, as serious as it will take you.
Yep. And it's super cool, honestly. It's such a fun job. It's hard work, but at the end of the day, you did a thing. And at the end of a project, there's now a house with electricity in it.
Yeah.
And all the cool lights and
a family has a place to live.
Yeah.
And
it's good, what they call honest work.
Mm-hmm.
And it pays pretty darn good as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, take initiative and be as good as you can with it.
And that's the thing. There you go. That's
initiative.
That's the dead ringer. Is there are people that you're going to see that take zero initiative. There's five dudes standing around a hole in the ground and one of them's digging. The other four are just standing there telling jokes, talking about whatever. The guy in the pit is the guy taking the initiative. The other people are just lazy and they're just sitting around waiting for someone else to do the work.
Yeah.
And there's not all the time do you have to have initiative, because at some point you could be a bull in a china cabinet and just like do things unnecessarily to screw things over even more. But at least if you're a person that once you've completed a job that you were told to do, if you go back over to the job lead and say, hey, I finished that. What's the next thing can I do?
Yeah.
And you'll get to a certain point where after a couple of years, you already know what needs to be done.
Right.
But at that point, then it's just saying, hey man, I noticed this over here is not done. This over here is not done. You want me to go take care of that? And a lot of times they'll say, no, I got these priorities, do this, this, and this. I would get to a point where I'm like, hey, give me 10 things to do right now because I know what to do. And if you just show me in order, I'll just work them in the same order you showed me and just give me 10 things to do. But I have never been a person to not take initiative in anything I've ever done. I hard charge into everything and I'm the guy in the middle of the shit always, you know?
Yeah.
And because of that, I've always been paid really well. I've always been kept around, not laid off. I've always been called up for opportunities. Like things just fall out of the sky for me because it's the personality, the type of character that I have as a worker, not because I'm like a good human or anything like that. So I think if you just kind of pattern that behavior of just trying to, when you see somebody doing something and you know they've been doing it forever and you've never tried it. Like I remember the first time I got to work on an electrical panel, I had like seen them for a long time. And like, I always saw the journeyman doing it. None of the other helpers did it. And I was in a, because we did large scale custom homes, there was usually 10 helpers around and 3 journeymen on some of these big houses. And so I would see the things that all the apprentices were doing and I would try to do them twice as many, twice as fast. And they would go out and smoke cigarettes. I didn't smoke cigarettes. I'd stayed in there. I just kept hammering all the time. So everybody wanted me on their truck constantly. And then I got to the point where I'd be around a journeyman and he's like working on these panel things. And I'm like, I want that. I want to do that. It looks complicated. It looks like all these little switchy devices and wires and everything looks like you could make it neat. And I'm also artistic. So I like the clean aesthetic thing. But I remember the first time I did a panel, I had to convince them to let me do it. And it was just me asking. It's like, hey, man, I've been doing this for 3 months now, which is nothing. Still pretty much day one. But I was like, I really want to mess with that. I want to do that. Like, will you let me? I feel like I've seen you do it enough times. And they were hesitant, you know, but they're like, I'll give you a shot. If there's anything you have a question about, don't just do shit to try to impress me. Yep. Ask me.
And was it a new panel? It wasn't hot.
We were replacing an old panel with a new panel in a garage somewhere.
Gotcha.
So it was like upgrading. Yeah, yeah, it was dead. But it was just the coolness of getting to choose where wires were routed and how they looked and all the colors and the bends and everything. I like
it. Do you remember how you did it? Like, can you picture how you did it?
No.
No, I've done thousands. I bet if you looked at it now, you'd be like, oh man, why did I put this one here?
Yeah, I'd cringe. And I do remember it took me half a day and it was probably like a 24 circuit panel, like nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And they were ready to go at the end of the day. Like all of them were letting me do it because they knew that if you let Dustin try something, he's going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
And they were having to have patience because at the end of the day, like they all swept. I'm talking the master electrician of the company was there too. And he was sweeping floors instead of me. And I was in there monkey fucking a football, you know? And we got to this point where like, it was probably 30 minutes later than we should have left. And they're all just standing there watching me. And they're like, are you going to finish anytime today? I'm like, yeah, I'm almost done. But it was such a cool experience. And the only reason I got to do that was because I asked to do it. Yep. I waited for the right time to ask the right job and everything, but that's just taking initiative. It's stepping in when something needs to be done, volunteering for things.
Yeah. Taking the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just take initiative, anticipate need, and you're going to go really far through your entire career, and consistency with that behavior is gold in my opinion. So love you crazy people. See you in the next one.
Bye.